What's up, everyone? Welcome into another episode of the Between the Tackles podcast. As always, give us a follow on social media, X, TikTok, Instagram, at Tackles Pod. We're on YouTube as well, at Tackles Pod. Find us on Facebook if you're only there, Between the Tackles. And give us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify if you're liking the content to continue to help us grow. I'm back with my pal Manish. Manish, how you doing tonight? We got a special episode.
We're really excited to have NFL Network national insider Ian Rappaport with us today. If you're somehow unaware, Ian is one of the best and biggest newsbreakers across the league and one of the most respected voices covering the NFL. And if you did not know, Ian was a catcher for his high school baseball team, and he rode in college, although I've yet to see any visual evidence of either of those. Welcome to the show.
I have it. All over my basement. Got a lot of pictures. What's going on? How you guys doing?
We're doing good. I just want to jump into it. It's kind of a tradition unlike any other, a rite of spring in the NFL in these past few years. And I'm obviously talking about the Aaron Rodgers. Will he play? Will he retire? Will he show up? When will he show up? Is he in a cave? Is he meditating? So let's cut through all that, Ian. Let me just ask you point blank. Will Aaron Rodgers be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers in week one?
I would say that is the most likely scenario because it's Aaron Rodgers and because it's, you know, so murky at best. I would say, there's really no definitive answer. And I think for a lot of players, you'd say, like, of course he's going to play or of course he's not going to play, right? Or maybe it's about the money. Well, it's Aaron Rodgers, so like it's not about the money. I think money will be a factor in you know, by saying that like his agent, Dave Dunn, will negotiate a contract. But I don't think that's the biggest factor. It's really just, does he want to do it? My sense, talking to the people I've spoken with, is that he does. I would consider it likely that he is the starting quarterback for the Steelers this season. He has been in Pittsburgh over the last, let's say, week or so. That is my understanding as he sort of settles in a little bit, has not been to the facility, but has been in Pittsburgh. And you hope that an answer is coming sooner rather than later. But yeah, probably a little more intriguing than you would like for a starting quarterback.
So do you think he's going to be there, I guess, maybe next week when the final phase of this voluntary offseason program begins? Typically it's 7-on-7, you know this, Ian, but he does have two new receivers, Michael Pittman. They drafted Jeremy Bernard in the second round. So you would like to see him start developing some kind of chemistry with both those guys.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, he started building a relationship, at least with Pittman and some of his receivers currently on the Steelers. Obviously, you have, you know, the new rookies and everyone else sort of getting to know each other. You know, I think last year he came in for kind of the very end. This year, you know, I would be, look, it's Aaron Rodgers, who knows, but I'd be a little surprised if he wasn't in over the next couple of days. You got OTAs, he's got a coach he's familiar with. I think last year there were some moments of frustration for Rodgers at, you know, not being on the same page with everyone. There's a good way to fix that, and that is to get there and work with the players. So, like, he can do that. He can be in control of that. And, you know, certainly there's not as much intrigue this year compared to last year because, like, we think there's only one team. We think he's playing and all those things. So, yeah, I mean, I would expect Aaron Rodgers over the next, you know, let's say a little bit of time, you know, we'll probably cut out the topics that we're able to discuss because you can always talk about Aaron Rodgers, but I think it would be nice for the Steelers people to know that he has a team.
So you said that, you said that money is not a factor here. So what do you think it actually is? I mean, why has he not come to the facility yet? And we're talking, what, almost mid-May?
Yeah, I mean, I would say he goes through a process and it's really hard for me to understand because I've never been there. Like, I've always done a job that I've wanted to do and really liked, you know, and I say, I think he does too. But when you're an older player, it involves getting hit, it involves humans and more than just football. You know, he has said publicly that he has a wife now. There's just a lot of things to consider. And, you know, I would also say that, like, running football drills in April is maybe not every veteran's favorite thing of all time. I think if they all had their choice, they would probably show up in the middle of May or maybe in the middle of June. I would say he just has to go through his process. And look, for me, you know, if it were me, I would say probably a simple decision. Like, he is not a simple man. He is a very complicated man. We have learned that over the last couple of years, and I think that's okay.
So you don't think there's any contractual issues? Forget about the money for a second, but I think it was Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk who had speculated that maybe he wants a little clarity that if things kind of go south for the Steelers early in the season and they decide to turn to one of their younger quarterbacks, I don't think it'll be Drew Aller because, frankly, I don't think he's close to being ready. But if they decide to go to a Will Howard, for example, that Rodgers would want some clarity and freedom in terms of, you know, having the ability to leave, which I don't think makes much sense. But again, this is Florio speculating. Do you think that that is on the table at all?
I really don't. Oh, thanks, Max. I really don't, because I don't know what that would be. You know, contractually, like, there's only so much you can sort of guarantee, right? I mean, what could you say? You could say, well, you could get your release if you get benched. Like, he can get that anyway. He could just say, come on, guys, it's not working. You know, he's Aaron Rodgers. What are they going to do, hold him hostage? You know, so to me, I don't think it's that. Now, like, look, I think his agent is very good. He's done a very good job for a long time. I think he'd like to do his thing. Agents have a thing. I just don't know that there'd be any contractual protections that he could get off taking him off the field and whatever that would lead to.
Was he ticked off that they put the right of first refusal tag on him?
I don't know enough to answer that question. I think that it's one of those things that it seems weird unless you sort of really understand what it is and isn't. And then it's like, okay, well, like, does it actually mean that much? And I really don't think it does. Like, it locks his salary in, except if you want to negotiate, which I think they're doing. It gives the Steelers, you know, a draft pick compensation if someone else signs him, but I don't think someone's going to. So, like, it was a headline and it was a thing, but I don't know that it was really as much of a thing for him as it was for us.
Do you think, Ian, I mean, this is obviously your personal opinion, but do you think he's going to be 43, I believe, in December at some point? Do you think he's still got juice left? You know, he played fairly okay, I think, last season, but
yeah.
What do you think? What's left in the tank for Aaron Rodgers?
I think he's good enough. And I will say, no, look, I think he's good enough if he's healthy. What has happened to some of these older quarterbacks is you have, like, lower body issues, you know, hamstring, ankles, feet, and that sort of can slow you down and really take a toll. If he's healthy, he is plenty good enough. Because I think what happens is, you know, if your body can deal with it, your mind kind of quickens up. There's nothing he hasn't seen. He's in a system that's familiar. I mean, I think he'll be more than good enough to play. And, you know, Mike McCarthy is the new head coach. All of his offenses have been good. Always. All of his offenses have been good. I expect him to be good this year with Aaron Rodgers.
One more thing. You mentioned McCarthy. I don't think it's a secret that, you know, those two guys butted heads at different points. They obviously had a lot of success winning a Super Bowl together. Do you think that their relationship will be smooth if there is a second going around, which everyone anticipates there will be?
Yeah, I really do. I think by the end, you know, I think once Rodgers, and this is me speculating, but once Rodgers sort of started to see, all right, maybe the grass could be greener somewhere else, he kind of got soured on that whole situation. You know, it's like if you live one place, you start thinking about, okay, I'm going to live somewhere else. All of a sudden, you're like in your current town, you're like, this old store, this restaurant's not that good. I want the new. You know, it's like, I think he started imagining all the new things. He's in a different place now. He's sort of an elder statesman. McCarthy is too, by the way. They both need each other. I think if it happens, I think it'll be really good.
Well, I want to move it along here to another big story this offseason, and that's involving the what's seemingly all but confirmed trade of A.J. Brown from the Eagles to the Patriots. What are you hearing that the draft compensation is going to look like, and will any Patriots players potentially be involved in going back to the Eagles?
I would say we do not know the draft compensation, and I think, you know, this is not the Patriots and Eagles have a secret deal that they're going to unveil on June 1st. It's not like that. And I don't even know that one is going to get done June 1st, because basically, to my understanding, it's the Eagles wanting a 2027 first round pick. You can want anything you want. You can hold firm. If that's what you want, like, I don't know that they're going to get a clean 2027 one. The Patriots want to pay less. They would like it to be a two. Now, there's space in between there where you could say, all right, we'll give you a three, we'll give you another two, you know, we'll get something back. Like, you can make the points work by trading various draft picks. I mean, you know, the Eagles did it in a trade with the Falcons. I think it was the Sidney Brown trade, but there's like six draft picks going back and forth. Like, you can make the numbers work. I just don't know that they're there yet. Now, would I be surprised if it didn't happen? Like, I think I'd be surprised if it didn't happen, but I do not believe that they're there yet. And I don't think either side has spoken about it in some time with each other.
Do you think there's a potential that somebody like Kayshon Booty could be going back to the Eagles? You've kind of heard that kind of speculated.
Yeah. You know, I've heard the speculation, and I know, you know, he's someone who, you know, potentially could be traded. I would say if the trade needs it, then that would make sense. You know, I sort of thought that Kayshon Booty would go in the trade because the Eagles needed a receiver, but like, do they need one now?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think the landscape has changed. And this is sort of like, you know, why you like to do things either, you know, before the draft or clear of the draft, because like, it really does change things. Like, I don't know that the Eagles would want, you know, Kayshon Booty to be part of a deal now, because like, where would he fit? Maybe he would. But where would he fit on their team? It's, you know, this roster is obviously constructed differently now after the draft.
How do you think A.J. Brown really feels about Jalen Hurts? You've heard a lot speculated about their relationship over the last year or so, kind of translated to on-the-field production or lack thereof for A.J. Brown. How do you think he really feels about him? You think he's done?
I mean, I don't know what done is, because if he's contractually obligated to play for the Eagles, I think he will. And I believe by the end of last year, personally, they were in a fine place. They really were in an okay place. Like, I don't know that the problems are personal. Like, did A.J. Brown get frustrated when Jalen Hurts didn't run the offense as it should have? Like, I think he did. But I think by the end last year, they were all okay. I think it's more from a from an Eagles standpoint, like, you're going to get real value for a player who's not old, but is a little older, who's worth a lot of money, who has, you know, a very high value. Like, whether they get a two or a one, like, that's a lot to get for a veteran player on a big salary. I think it's more that the trade would make sense for the Eagles. And, you know, it certainly seems like A.J. Brown would be, say, open to a new place.
Absolutely. I mean, the Patriots not drafting a wide receiver kind of gave legs to this whole story. But the receiver that was there last year who's no longer there, Stephon Diggs, is still available. He just cleared all his legal problems up here in New England. Do you see any type of reunion possible there for the Patriots, especially after he comes out on Instagram? You got all the players going in saying they want him back. Do you think there's any meat there that he could come back to New England?
Would never say never, but that would surprise me. I think they, you know, it was a great year last year. They got a lot out of him. He played well. That one would surprise me if he was back there. I think probably a new team makes sense.
You know, I just wanted to backtrack a little bit off of what Burge asked about A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, and even a broader question about the Eagles specifically when making trades. Howie Roseman, as you're fully aware, likes to win trades, I think, more than probably the average general manager. And I think the perception matters a lot with Howie in terms of, did he win this deal? And typically, you know, he's not batting 1,000 on trades, but he's pretty good. You know, he's one of the better traders in the NFL. So, you know, initially I'd asked why would Howie Roseman even be open to the idea of trading A.J. Brown? Yeah, look, I know that the quarterback and the receiver don't get along from a football standpoint. I think personally, as you said, I don't really think there's any major rift there. I think that Jalen Hurts is A.J. Brown's son's godfather or something to that effect. But professionally, why would Howie Roseman be open to trading A.J. Brown unless you think that the Eagles feel that A.J. Brown's a declining player?
I think it's more just, are they going to get the value or not? Because, you know, you look at you look at the 2027 draft, it's going to be a, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a historic talent-wise draft, but that's certainly what people are talking about. And this has to continue. So, like, what happens to Jalen Hurts in Philly? Is he going to be there for the next 10 years? Like, his play next year is going to determine a lot. If it's a bad year, I would say everything is up in the air. Having an extra first-round pick in the 2027 draft is something that, you know, I think value-wise would be amazing. That's what you'd want. That would help you kind of restart, however you use it. Like, Howie Roseman has done a great job of getting those extra first-round picks. And so that's what it would be to me. Like, does he have to get rid of A.J. Brown? No. Now, you know, it's a lot around one player. It's a lot of noise. It's a lot of conversation. I'm not sure they love that. Not a reason to get rid of someone, but I'm not sure they love that. I just think the value would make more sense than keeping him.
Yeah, and he's proven several years back, he moved up drastically to get Carson Wentz with the number two pick. I think they were in the teens and they had to make a couple deals with the Dolphins. And I agree with you, getting the asset is important. But if you thought a guy was a great player, it doesn't matter unless you're going to get like multiple first round picks.
I don't know about that because everybody has a price, right? Like the price is sort of what it is. It's like, how many players would you say like, oh, well, we would never trade that guy? Like how many? There's not that many. And when you have, you know, a 28 or 29 year old receiver who's due a huge salary and has generated the kind of noise, like I think a lot of general managers would say, all right, if I could get a first round, I'll tell you this. I bet a lot of general managers would look at really good veteran players on their own roster who are making a lot of money and would take a first round pick instead. I think it's more than you think.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do want to move along to the story of the offseason, something I don't think that any of us could have predicted a couple months ago. And that's obviously what's going on in New England with Mike Vrabel. You know, the conversation revolving around Mike Vrabel and Diana Rossini has been talked about considerably. I want to spin it forward. Ian, you covered the Patriots. You know the crafts. Is there any scenario over the next couple of months before the season begins where the Crafts would seriously consider parting ways with Mike Vrabel?
Based on the actions of the organization, which has been, you know, Vrabel's been out there talking. He has given some press conferences. He has given some statements. I haven't seen anything that would deviate from the plan for him to be the head coach next season and moving forward. I mean, this is an organization that, you know, certainly has supported him. He is an excellent coach. They also are an organization that, for better or worse, have dealt with their share of controversies and scandals, have, you know, stood by when at all possible. You know, and to me, that's that seems to be the way it's going to be going forward.
I want to ask you this question because you have a unique perspective on this. In light of everything that happened between Vrabel and Rossini, a lot of criticism about the NFL insiders. You have a journalism background. You covered the Alabama football team and Nick Saban. You covered the Patriots as a Patriots beat reporter for the Boston Herald. And now your position, I think, while there's overlap in what you used to do in a previous life, there are distinct differences. So how would you just explain just the difference between being an NFL insider and being, you know, the Patriots beat reporter for the Boston Herald?
You know, I think the mode of delivering news is different. Like I used to write in newspapers and report on blogs, sometimes on Twitter. This is now Twitter and on TV and on podcasts and whatever. So like the mode of delivering news is different. You know, I'm not sure it's that different, to be honest. Like, and I think, you know, yes, I have been for sure frustrated at a lot of people talking about what they think the job of insider is like without actually knowing. Like that's been frustrating to me over the last, let's say, month or so. But like the job is still the same. It's finding out news. It's touching base and talking to all parties, as many as you can. It's confirming it, making sure that it comes out in the most accurate and truthful way possible, while also doing it as fast as possible and giving the reader or viewer or whatever as much information as you can. And I don't really know that it's that different from the Patriots, except, you know, it's, you have more teams. Now, like, you know, there's other things involved. Like, for instance, if you report something very negative, you might have to deal with that person in, you know, a month or so on another player or another whatever. But that's the same way with the Patriots. If you write something, you know, about a player in the locker room, guess who you're going to see the next day? You know, it's all sort of the same. It's being accurate, being fair, being first, and being accountable. I mean, to me, it's all sort of the same philosophy that leads you to the same thing.
What I think is fascinating is because, you know, your job does require you to touch all bases, all 32 bases, and know about all the teams, you have a fair amount of information that you never actually report. I think on a smaller scale, beat reporters are the exact same way. You don't report everything that you know. But there's also a fair amount of information trading. And I think that's, you know, that's out there. You know, we had Albert Breer on a few weeks ago, and he was talking about how during the draft, it's one of those times where he feels like he can actually help teams because he's asking so much of teams throughout the course of the year. This is an opportunity to have more of a quid pro quo. How prevalent is that? How important is that in your job? Just the information trading, and how mindful are you that, well, certain things that I talked to GMA about, you know, he does not want that to be passed along to GM B or C. How do you navigate juggling, you know, the trust that people have enlisted in you while also trying to benefit and help other teams that have helped you?
Well, I mean, I don't like the term quid pro quo, and I don't really see it like that. You know, now there is a helping part of it. Now, like, how much are you really helping? Like, who knows? Because it's the draft and no one knows anything. But, you know, I talk to basically all the general managers, or at least all the teams. I get as much information as I can. You try to find out the landscape. And when you're talking to people about the draft, you kind of give them the landscape as you see it, while knowing that there's certain things that you can't share. Like, you know, it's all in a bunch of little silos. Like, but I will say that when teams talk to me during the draft, they know that they are not the only team that I'm talking to. So there's sort of like a private information sharing that's like, you know, okay, maybe you know, like, hey, look, we're probably going to take an offensive lineman in the spot. People know that. Like, you can say that. Or like, hey, we're open to moving back. Like, if you hear of a team open to moving up, just mention us. Like, I think there's that. I never really got the sense. It's like, all right, if you tell me this, then I'll give you this. Like, I don't know what the reality is because, you know, we all sort of have blind spots in our life, but it just never feels like that to me. It's more like, hey, I'm going to tell you this because this is what I know. And, you know, a lot of times teams are like, all right, like, here's this because we're going to give this to someone, might as well be you. You know, like, I don't get the sense it's like, hey, if you tell us this, like, tell us who's really going number three, and then we'll tell you this. Like, it just never, to me, feels like that.
Outside of the draft, though, if there's a disgruntled player and he wants out, can you convey that message? You know, there have been insiders who I know who have actually facilitated trades. You know, what percentage of the trade was facilitated by the insider is up for debate, but they have actually kind of been a part of that process. Have you been a part of the process where you've actually been a part of facilitating a deal with a disgruntled player or for a disgruntled player?
I'm not sure how real that is. Now, I mean, have I had conversations with two teams, one looking for a player, one looking to trade a player? Like, I have. You know, I just don't know that facilitating, it's like, all right, hey, if you give this first rounder, by the way, they'd probably take that. Like, I don't know how much of that really goes on. I do like to, you know, what will happen is you find out, all right, these two teams are talking, and because it's so sensitive, you'll be like, hey, I know you're talking to this team. I think I'm the only one who knows. Like, I don't want to screw both teams and the player, so I will keep this quiet until it's done. I think that happens. But that's more like being fair and not screwing up the process than anything else. You know, it's like, when someone's cooking dinner, I don't run in and like taste something out of the pot just because it looks good. It's like you want to let the dinner cook and then be on the plate and then get to eat it, you know? So I don't know how much trades are being facilitated like that. I do like to know the information before everyone else, but that's mostly because I like to gossip.
Yeah, wasn't there a, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, weren't you the voted the most likely to gossip in your high school yearbook?
No, not most likely to gossip because I was already gossiping. It was, I was voted the biggest gossip. That was my senior
gossip. I'm sorry, the biggest gossip.
I was the biggest gossip boy. Deirdre Colligan was the biggest gossip girl.
One more thing on this, Ian. You know, obviously, the personal stuff is personal stuff with what happened with Rossini and Vrabel. What was your reaction when you found out? I mean, obviously, a lot of this stuff is unsubstantiated, but you can kind of connect the dots. What was your reaction about the entire story, generally speaking?
Watching it play out in public has been really sad. Like, I've seen this in other walks of life and in other sort of like celebrities or important people. I've never really seen it with people that I know. And it's really different and like not good and sad and just like all around. Like, it's just, you know, whatever happened, the, you know, sort of media onslaught. And I don't even, to be honest, I don't blame the media. I really don't, because the public thirst is there. So like the media is just the person. They're not getting people interested. People are already interested. They're feeding the beast. Like, that happens in our world. But watching it play out in public has been much sadder than I ever anticipated. I would not wish anybody on any level to go through anything like everyone involved in this is going through.
Well, let's make it a little happier here. Let's start talking about some free agents that are still out there on the NFL market.
Okay.
And the first one I want to talk about is wide receiver Deebo Samuel after 1 year in Washington. Which team's going to end up with Deebo?
Yeah, it's such a weird time now because, you know, it's May 13th as we're taping this. And, you know, if you're a free agent now, there's a couple reasons. One, you're still getting healthy. Two, you haven't found the money you want. Or three, you're just not ready to commit. Now, you're sort of getting to that point where, like, you're going to wait until there's an injury. Like, if you want, let's just pick a figure, $10 million, like, you might say, I'm going to wait till someone's receiver gets injured. Now, Deebo's a little different because he's so specific. But I just, you know, I haven't heard a ton of noise on free agents like that, and I probably wouldn't. Because that's not really what it's like. You know, it's like during free agency, you hear a lot of noise. When it's May, you don't hear anything until it's time to sign.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask you, Ian, about one of his former teammates. I'm really confounded by this, and it's Brandon Ayuk. He's still on the 49ers. I don't quite understand why. You know, I have a lot of respect for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, but other than pettiness, I have no idea why he is not a free agent. I think everybody in the league, there's nobody in the league. I mean, look, you know this. There's nobody in the league who believes that Brandon Ayuk will be a San Francisco 49er.
Said he's not going to be there.
So then other than, you know, kind of just putting the screws on him, why hold on to him? Why not just let him go and move on?
Well, I'm not sure it was the cleanest situation over there. I'm not sure they're that happy with Brandon Ayuk. If I had on a limb here,
I think we all understand what he did, and it's, you know, contact detrimental to the team.
Well, hold on. He hurt himself more than anyone. He gave up $27 million or whatever it was. Hurt himself more than anyone. I think the reason that they haven't cut him is because they don't have to. They're not paying him. He's lost his guaranteed money. He's not showing up in the locker room causing a disruption. Now, he could show up. That would make this, you know, if he showed up and started working out, you know, maybe that would change things, but I don't get the sense he's going to. I think they don't have to, and they kind of don't want to. I think they just don't want to, considering everything that has gone into the situation.
No, look, I think we all agree that he screwed them. He screwed himself financially, of course. He didn't handle himself like a professional. But shouldn't he just rise above that instead of just saying, "Hey, you kind of screwed us, so we're going to screw you back."
Who rise above? The 49ers?
Yeah, why not? To take the high road. It's over. Nah. No?
I don't know. I mean,
evidently not. You're obviously right. I just.
No, I mean, I don't know. It's like, first of all, they don't have to. Like, what's the difference? He's not.
He could be working out with the Commanders, for example.
He could be working out by himself.
Well, with the rest of the team, the coaches.
No. I think they would like to see if they can trade him. And if you're the Commanders, you'd like to see if you can not trade for him. You'd like to just sign him. So it's sort of a staring contest. And I honestly don't know who's wrong. I really don't. I'm not sure I blame either side. I'm sort of like, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ayuk was wrong initially, but now I don't know.
What's the difference?
It's really strange to me. Well, the difference is he could be with another team working out with his new quarterback and his new coaches, and they're preventing him from doing that.
Like you said,
they don't have to. They don't have to cut him. You're absolutely right.
They could keep him.
But didn't Ayuk put himself in that situation to begin with? He's put himself in this situation.
He did, but two wrongs don't make a right. All right, let's move on, Ian. You'd mentioned Tyreek. You'd mentioned guys getting healthy, and Tyreek Hill seems to have cleared up some of the off-field stuff that he's dealing with. Grievous knee injury. Is he going to play in 2026? And B, have there been any teams who have actually shown interest in him to this point?
I don't know. If I had to say what I think he plays, I think he does, but I don't know, because he's a fast guy who has always been an incredible athlete, in incredible shape, and just a great runner. And that's a serious injury, and not everybody comes back from that. So, and the timing wasn't great either. I don't know. I really don't. I hope he plays, because it's fun to watch when he plays, but that is an unbelievably serious injury. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, what's going on with the George Pickens here? The guy is not going to get a long-term deal. Stephen Jones has said that he has signed his franchise tag, yet he does not show up for voluntary workouts. He theoretically still could be traded. Does he want to be traded?
I have never heard that he wants to be traded. No one has told me that. Now, like, would he accept, a 3-year, $100 million contract from a new team? Like, I think a lot of people would probably like that. It's funny, but that actually probably would be like the price. No one has told me he wants to be traded. Now, the fact that they want him to sort of play it out is, I would say, generally annoying, but, this is one of the things when you're allowed to do the franchise tag, like, it's not what it's supposed to be for, but you're allowed to do this. So I would say that's the most likely scenario, that he goes and plays it out. And the Cowboys do have a history. Dak Prescott, DeMarcus Lawrence. There's another one. Well, at least those two. Guys who have played it out on the tag and signed long-term deals in place of their second tag. So, I think there's a chance, but they just would like to see a little bit more.
What happened with Taylor Decker? I don't think that's been clarified. He said he wanted to be released. He didn't definitively say why. The Lions obviously have not volunteered why. I still think that there's quality play left in him. You can always use a left tackle. So why?
Yeah. I would say he came back, sort of going back and forth. Last year, by all accounts, wasn't great. Came back. Sounds like they wanted to work on his contract number. He probably didn't like that. And then sort of the market decides. And I think what happens sometimes when you get these older dudes is they say, well, I'm a pick a number, $15 million a year player. And then the market decides whether you are or aren't. And the market has spoken pretty loudly, what it seems like.
Where is he going to end up?
I don't know that anybody needs a tackle right now. Now, maybe, but at that price, I don't know. We'll see. Someone's going to lose the tackle somewhere, and he'll be the first call, and we'll see how much they're willing to pay. And if that's the case, that's why you wait. If you're a veteran, that's why you wait.
I like the David Njoku deal with the Chargers. Was there any other serious suitor for him?
As soon as he took the trip, I was pretty confident that he was going to sign. Like, after the draft, like, there's not a lot of, like, veterans who are like, oh, I'm going to visit this one, I'm going to visit that. It's like, when you're visiting, probably going to sign. Now, you can work on the deal. Can work. Usually, it's like, they say, hey, it's going to be this, and then you work on the incentive package. That's generally what it is. I like the signing, too. I would say this, like, talk about someone who has good football left. I feel like David Njoku has good football left, and being with Justin Herbert in this offense, like, this could be a little bit of a career resurgence for David Njoku.
Moving on, I want to get your take here. Obviously, you're aware that ESPN and the NFL Network have merged together.
I'm aware.
I had to point that out and make it obvious. What's it been like for you since the merger, working with, you know, Adam Schefter, you know, former rival, now turned a teammate? What's that been like with working under the new umbrella?
I mean, I think the process has been really interesting. I was on NFL Live for the first time a couple of days ago talking about Aaron Rodgers. I think in my life, I mean, I haven't even signed my contract yet, to be honest, so it hasn't fully changed. I don't know how much is going to be different, let's say, like in the first year or two or maybe three. Because NFL Network is really good. I think they're going to sort of beef that up and invest in it. But I don't think it's going to be like all of a sudden everyone who was on NFL Network is just going to be on ESPN all the time. Because NFL Network is a really good product in itself. And you want that to be really good. And, you know, I don't think the viewers want wholesale changes for anything. Nobody wants wholesale changes for anything ever. Except for fans when they want to fire everyone. So I think my general life is probably going to be pretty much the same for a while. I just, you know, hope that, I mean, I know we're at a place that believes in what we're doing, will invest in it, will have more shows, and just have a, I mean, ESPN is very, very good at what it does. Very good. And I am looking forward to being a part of that.
That's very good to hear. I definitely want to see more of the NFL Network. I love the insiders. Glad to hear that.
Appreciate that. I like it too.
And we'll get you out on a couple quick things. Give me a Super Bowl prediction. I know it's wildly early and you'll likely change your mind a million times. But as we sit here today, after the draft, after free agency, for the most part, who do you like? Is there a team that's going to come out of nowhere to kind of shock everyone like the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots did last year?
Let's see. I'm going to make my same prediction I did last year, which is Ravens-Packers. And the Ravens are going to be just as good, but a little bit better. I think Lamar will be, you know, healthier, and the Packers will be really good. Get Micah for the whole season. I'll stick with that one.
How about a team that's you know, didn't make the playoffs last year that's going to surprise people?
Cardinals.
Cardinals had a good offseason. Are you serious? Okay.
I think Cardinals will make the playoffs as a wild card team.
Wow. Okay. I think the Cardinals have the number one pick in the draft. So you and I are on polar opposites there.
We'll see.
All right. We have one last trivia question here. Okay. I did prep you for this. I did not give you the question.
True.
But I gave you a heads up. Can you name the only franchise that has drafted two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the same draft? And these guys played in the 80s and 90s as a little hint.
Stumped me on this one earlier.
80s and 90s. Hall of Famers?
Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, yeah. They both played in the 80s and the 90s. This one franchise took them in the same draft.
Same draft. I have no idea. Can't even guess.
That would be the 1979 Kansas City Royals drafted Dan Marino and John Elway.
And it was a massive letdown.
I thought as a former catcher for your high school baseball team that you might think outside the box and
pretty good.
Think that way.
Pretty good. I did not know that one. I like it. I've never heard that before. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you can share that. I saw that somewhere.
I'll share it. There you go.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. Great insight. Great perspective as always.
All right. No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again.
You can check out Ian on the NFL Network and now on ESPN. That'll do it for this episode. Be sure to download and leave us a 5-star rating if you're enjoying the podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're also on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Please comment. Your feedback goes a long way to helping us grow. And thanks again for Ian Rappaport hopping on today. We'll see you next time.